Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, filling in for Brian Lehrer. The Bronx has been a backdrop in cinema throughout history, including memorable films such as Robert De Niro's A Bronx Tale, Fort Apache the Bronx, starring Paul Newman, and Spike Lee's Summer of Sam. And now in a new Netflix series called The Get Down, which premiered last Friday, the Bronx is a prominent theme in telling the story of the origins of hip-hop during the summer of 1977. How accurate is the portrayal of the Bronx as the birthplace of hip-hop in the show? Well, one of my next guests explored just that in a story he wrote for Gothamist titled How True to the Bronx History is the Get Down. He's Jake Offenhartz, freelance journalist and editor at historybuff.com. Jake, welcome to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
And also joining me now is Mark Nason. He's a professor of history and African-American studies at Fordham University. Professor Nason is the founder of the Bronx African-American History Project, one of the largest community-based oral history projects in the nation, and he has brought his research to more than 30 Bronx schools as well as Bronx-based community organizations. And Mark Nason's latest book is Before the Fires, an oral history of American life in the Bronx from the 1930s to the 1960s, which it documents the African-American experience in the Bronx during the years when the Bronx was seen as a place of hope and opportunity for Blacks and Latinos. Professor Nason, thank you for joining us.
I'm very glad to be here.
All right, so Jake, first, describe the show for us, The Get Down.
Sure. So it's Baz Luhrmann's show, and the first six episodes came out last Friday. And the show sort of claims to be this exploration of hip-hop's origin story in the summer of 1977 in the South Bronx. And it's also sort of like the final days of disco, and it's told through the lens of these fictional characters with the occasional real-life historical figure like Ed Koch making an appearance.
Okay, and I think we have a clip. It's about 30 seconds. This is from a trailer from The Get Down.
The way I see it, all of us here on this planet, and we're on a journey, and it is a mystery.
These chains on me won't let me be. You've got the keys, come set me free.
It's about music, man. It'll move you forward and open up doors that everyone says are shut. It'll give you the whole world for free if you just hold back nothing.
You hear that? That is life and destiny. That is The Get Down.
All right. Professor Nason, have you seen the show?
Unfortunately, I haven't, but my students who have grown up in the Bronx love it. And that is a hell, they're saying, Dr. Nace, I've been out of town for the last 2 weeks. You have to see this, and you have to use it in your new class at Fordham, The Bronx Immigration, Race, and Culture. So I know Nelson George, who was very involved in helping shape the show. I know Grandmaster Flash. So, you know, the initial signs have all been positive from my direction.
And Jake, how historically accurate would you say that this show is? Just talking about there's a main character in the show, Francisco Papa Fuerte, who is known as a poverty pimp and a beloved local power broker in the South Bronx who cuts deals with the mayor at the time and later a mayoral hopeful Ed Koch, which you just talked about. Do you think that the role that this poverty pimp has played then is accurate?
Yeah, so the archetype of that character, as I understand it, is a guy named Ramon Velez, who was kind of considered a poverty pimp during, I guess, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and part of the 90s in the Bronx. But he was also this, like, beloved figure who managed to bring, like, $300 million in federal grant money to his centers in the Bronx, and he provided essential services that the city was sort of failing to provide at the time. So Cruz is based off of that character. I think he's might be a little bit shadier. There's definitely a lot of fiction in him as well.
I happen to know Ramon Velez all too well, because I was involved with a grassroots electoral figure, Gilberto Herrera Valentin, who was challenging him. There's a pretty rough side to Ramon Velez, and to say that he was beloved, beloved by some, hated and feared by others.
What did he do?
He controlled a lot of contracts that came into the Hunts Point area, and he created this multi-service center that provided medical care and housing. But if you opposed him, he would get your contracts canceled no matter how good your program was. And I was involved with this amazing program called Sports for the People, which brought a world-class gymnastics program to a local elementary school. And because it was associated with a political rival, he made sure that our contract was canceled. There's a whole side to Ramon Velez in terms of punishing his enemies that also has to be told. And the one thing that I do want to say, and this is background, the worst thing that happened to the Bronx in the 1970s, other than the cutting of fire services, was the removal of all the music programs from the Bronx public schools, the elimination of after-school centers, and the elimination of the park recreation supervisors from the local public parks. And Velez did nothing to stop that. That was dictated by the Emergency Financial Control Board, and it absolutely devastated music and sports programs in Bronx schools and communities.
Okay, thank you. Jake, graffiti is one of the art forms that originated alongside of hip-hop in the Bronx in the 70s, and it serves as a pretty major backdrop in the Get Down. But you talk about how the mayor at the time didn't see graffiti as the art form that some of us see it today. How accurate would you say that the war on graffiti in the Get Down is?
It's pretty accurate. That was the mayor's like real crusade. He was sort of running on this like law and order platform. The city was on the brink of bankruptcy, and the idea that like graffiti really made people feel as though they had lost control was something that he, I think, truly believed. One of his first acts as mayor was to put the trains, to surround them in barbed wire fencing and actually get German shepherds to guard them so the taggers couldn't come in at night and do their work. What's a little funny is that he's actually on the record saying he wanted wild wolves instead of German shepherds. Yeah. And I guess his thinking was that people were concerned that the German shepherds would bite people, and wild wolves are less known for biting people.
Okay, and there's a street gang known as the Savage Warlords, which is featured in the first episode of The Get Down. It's a fictional gang meant to represent some of the real-life gangs that inhabited the Bronx, such as Savage Skulls, Ghetto Brothers, and Grim Reapers. In a story for New York Magazine's Vulture blog, Lisa Liebman discusses the depiction of the Savage Warlords, writing that in 1971, after a Ghetto Brothers leader tried to negotiate peace, was murdered, the gangs called a truce and moved away from violence toward music, among other things. So the Savage Warlords we see would have likely been gone by the time that this story takes place in 1997.
1977.
Mark, do you know about these gangs?
The Savage Skulls and the Black Spades were the two best known gangs in the Bronx in the 1970s. And there definitely were efforts to produce gang truces. One of them was through Benji Melendez. The other was through Africa Bambaataa, who created the Universal Zulu Nation in order to bring gang peace to the Bronx and make it easier to have the kind of parties he was throwing at the Bronx River houses. So by 1977, I do think gang activity in the Bronx had significantly diminished, but these organizations still existed in various forms. Some of them actually became motorcycle gangs eventually. So I think there's some room to play with the idea that these organizations still existed, though they were much less dangerous in 1977 than they were in 1971.
Okay, and we have a caller, Jim, in the South Bronx. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you doing? I've been living for 20 years now in ground zero of the area you're talking about, and I want to challenge some of this nostalgia I just heard for the good old days. Thank God the city crushed graffiti. My building and ones all around it were absolutely unsightly, unlivable, degenerated properties thanks to graffiti scroll around them. When this area was cleaned up and redeveloped, and it was redeveloped, not gentrified, that's for another show that you should do one day, it became a much better, much livable, higher quality of life. And hip-hop is great. That was one of the great things to come out of the South Bronx. But it also, it contained a lot of antisocial behavior, such as graffiti scrawl all around you, that really helped blight this neighborhood. So let's be careful with the nostalgia.
And Jim, stay on the phone with us. Jake, I'm curious, how does this show portray hip-hop in the 70s, and does it sort of romanticize it?
I'd say it does. And I think there's plenty sort of to be romanticized. This is like a bunch of kids getting together and creating what's become like the dominant musical genre of our time. But I think that's a great point, that definitely beware of the nostalgia. And a lot of the criticism of the show is based on, it's just sort of all over the place. It can be cartoonish. There's these like kung fu tropes. There's a tendency to romanticize things, for sure, that I think is a good point you raise.
And Jim, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, right now the conversation about race and poverty is sort of gaining a little bit more traction than it has in previous years. Do you think that there's, when you see a show that is sort of romanticizing hip-hop and poverty, or the start of hip-hop and poverty, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay, I'm of an age where I grew up in that era. I was actually, in college during much of those years, so I was outside the city. But I grew up in that era. And, there was a lot more, let's say a lot more freedom of movement and freedom of action in a city that was less rigorously policed than it became. Okay, so I understand that. And, of course, hip-hop is one of the great cultural things that come from that era.
All right, thank you. We're going to have to end it there for today. Thank you so much. Jake Offenhartz is a freelance journalist and editor at historybuff.com, and Mark Nason is a professor of history and African American studies at Fordham University. I want to thank all of our listeners for calling in, sharing your thoughts. Thanks for having these conversations with us. This is all for the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and thank you all for listening.